Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and this is the 432nd edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You get your daily reading from me and other writers over at onceametro.com and the rest of the SB Nation family of soccer websites. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. I apologize for not going live last night on Monday, September the 23rd, due to the fact that I am under the weather, still under the weather, going through. It's not just a cold. It's just a very nasty infection that I'm going through right now. I'm trying to survive this, and hopefully, you know, I have great care, great doctors, and hopefully I can go out and get you guys, you know, what you want in American Soccer Talk. And as episode number 432 is already rolling here as we talk about the game in this country. Before we get to the intro monologue, just want to inform everyone there are no guests for this show today. Did not have the opportunity to contact anybody. So if you're looking for any guests right now, unfortunately, there are no guests. It's going to be a straight out. I'm going to review these first round qualifying scores in the 2020 U.S. Open Cup, which has gone on this past weekend. So we'll get to do that. Also, we'll review the last weekend of the USL Championship League, and then we'll review the Red Bulls' victories in Portland, Oregon, and at home against the Philadelphia Union. I was very severely under the weather, and it's getting better. I'm getting better. Just right now, it's just been a little bit difficult in current form, but don't worry. It will be better for me, I promise. So, if I'm coughing all the time, it's just because of this cold that I have that's been pretty bad. So, hopefully, everyone can just bear with me. And we'll get this thing rolling as soon as possible. But first things first, now, my intro monologue. I didn't say anything yet because I wanted to collect my thoughts on it, and I wanted to get my opinion out there, you know, when it was, you know, at the right time to discuss. Because once again, this sport has been picked on, dissected, and abused many, many times. Whether it be by fans of different sports, the mainstream soccer, mainstream sports media, or people who you thought respected this sport, or learned to respect this sport from yours truly, and all of a sudden the truth is they don't respect it at all. You thought you earned some respect. And then they turn around, they throw it in your face, and they claim that, well, this should never have happened because it's too close to a certain event, and we need that stadium. I don't know why this was played. This should never have been played. Why do they have to have the stadium? It's only 2 days before the biggest season to ever begin. And for those of you that are not knowing what I'm talking about, a friend of mine, and yes, I do follow the NFL. And just recently, I had to put an end to this podcast I've been doing covering the New York Jets because we didn't have any more people wanting to give us an opportunity to earn some money the proper way because they have their own favorites covering this team. But when you try to inform someone that, listen, whatever your complaints are, they're not valid. It's not true. Don't blame the sport because of what happened to certain people that basically can't do a simple job of kicking a football and putting it through the uprights because he's a basket case. Because he silly, stupidly made a podcast about it. And I said to him, you know, we can't talk about this like this. This is incorrect. Let's just talk about the Jets. But no, he had to do it during the podcast of reviewing the Jets losing to the Buffalo Bills 17-16 when they had a 16-0 lead. I texted him. I tweeted him. I said to him, we can't do this. He claims he didn't see it. And I still find it hard to believe that he ignored it. I don't believe for one second that he missed a simple text. But whatever. This is him. There's nothing much more you can say or do. He just went out and did it and made a stupid comment where, yes, I admit that I muted him because I'm running the show. I'm the one running the podcast. And once again, it's just a situation where no one wants to listen to what I have to say. And even though he said it, and I said this will be the only time I'm going to talk about it, and this will be the last time we'll ever say it, I told him it was incorrect and everything. And he still continued on, and we had an argument on the podcast, and it was something like I was unprofessional about it because that should not have happened on my end, which I admit to. Because I allowed this argument to continue on at the wrong time. I should have been the better person. I should have let him say what he wanted to say, and then it would have been it. It would have been over, and then we just continue on, even though it's only 30 minutes. But he wouldn't let it go. Pardon me. He wouldn't let it go. And what is this argument about? The argument is about U.S. soccer playing their friendly against Mexico at MetLife Stadium 2 days before the NFL season began at the beginning of September, just after the weekend of Labor Day. And his argument was the NFL should have done everything in their power to veto and not allow the Meadowlands to have this game played. You know, it's a situation where you can't do that. You cannot be told by a professional sports league, and I don't give a damn about how much money the NFL makes or how much more money the NFL makes over the, you know, Major League Baseball, over the NFL, over the NBA, over the NHL, over MLS, and over U.S. Soccer. The truth of the matter is this. U.S. Soccer asked for the venue. The Meadowlands said, you got it. this venue is yours for Friday nights. Go ahead and have some fun. Forget about the result for a minute of that match. Just forget about that result for a minute. And even though my friend said,
"Achoo!"
Sorry about that. 1 second.
Oh boy. Achoo!
Pa, I'm sorry about that.
Even though I said to him, you know, we not to do it, he did it. And we even had a conversation about it before the review show. And he still went on and on about, "I'm sorry, soccer is the sixth most popular sport in the country. It's not going to happen. I don't want to have a concert there. I don't want to have a polo match there before the NFL season starts."
Well, first of all, if you're going to have a polo match at MetLife Stadium, you're not going to have horses running all over the field turf, the fake stuff. And if you're going to have a concert 2 days before a game at MetLife Stadium, you know how much time it's going to take to tear down the stage, to tear down the lights? I mean, you're trying to have an argument, and it's not working, because it's really simple. All you have to do is remove the grass field, remove the plastic covering between the grass and the field turf. Now, obviously, that meant that the kicker, the new kicker that the New York Jets got, couldn't practice, which is a bunch of malarkey anyway, because when us, the media, returned from the locker room area, from the mix zone, to the press room, to the press box, I should say, you know what I saw? I saw a lot of vehicles that were construction vehicles getting ready to remove the field, the grass field, so that the Jets can get ready and play their game. So if you're telling me that the NFL should have business in what U.S. soccer does, that is an absolute farce. If you're telling me the NFL should have the first say in what is being played at MetLife Stadium, that is a dictatorship. The NFL has no legal jurisdiction over an NFL stadium or a stadium made for the game. Because why? Because that is owned by New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority. Even though the Jets and the Giants built it, it is on land that belongs to the state of New Jersey. They get the cut of everything. Whether it's a Jets game, a Giants game, a concert, a polo match. You know what happens? They have the right to go out and do whatever they want. They can even do the largest bake-off in Guinness Book of World Records history. But unfortunately, for a certain somebody, he was very upset. Very upset the NFL could not play their game or could not have the proper practice time for the kicker. Look, I bet you they were there all night long, removing the grass field and then putting up the uprights. It's really simple because the Giants, the New York Football Giants end zones are lowered inside the ground, which means it's not a separated end zone, unlike what the Jets are. They have to be removed block by block just so they can bring up the Giants end zone from underneath. And they have to stick that end zone back inside the ground so they could put in the Jets end zone pieces. I understand people have their opinions and everything else like that, and that's fine. But I don't want to hear stupidity being discussed when they have no idea how business works. The National Football League has no jurisdiction on what U.S. soccer does, and they have no jurisdiction on what the Meadowlands does that is owned by the New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority. It is state land. We are subjected to the state because it's their property. And then he says, well, then, the Jets and the Giants should have an opt-out clause in their MetLife Stadium contract. Where are they going to opt out to? Columbia University Stadium along the Spuytendyvil Creek between Manhattan and the Bronx? Rutgers University, where they have to add professional hash marks every Sunday? And even though Rutgers considers them New York, they're closer to Philadelphia? I mean, this is getting ridiculous. This is ridiculous. The problem is this. The problem is that he wants to blame U.S. soccer for the Jets' loss. The Jets lost that game all on their own because of injuries and a field goal kicker who was a basket case in the head. Oh, but the field didn't look pristine for the opening of the NFL Jets season. I mean, pristine. It's field turf. How is field turf supposed to look pristine? What sort of nonsense is this? And the truth is that while he has some positive qualities, sadly, the negatives weigh more than what he has done positively. This person who I'm talking about, I will not say his name, because I'm not in the mood to play these silly, stupid games. You know, find his name, go ahead and let him have it. I've already done that with an idiot named Mike Sanfilippo, because that's a real dinosaur right there. That man, Mike Sanfilippo, does not respect the game of soccer, even though he says he was happy for me and everything. I was part of another online sports radio show called Triple Coverage. I didn't want to start bringing soccer into it because I didn't feel like being ridiculed. And they said to me, no, go ahead. We want to be part of the show. You guys serious? Yes. Okay, good. Let's go. And all I wanted at that particular point in time was to talk about the first ever victory for the U.S. men's national team against Mexico at the Estadio Azteca. I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think it was too much to ask. But no, he got upset because I wanted to start it off with soccer and how it threatened the show, threatened his how he runs the show when it's not his show. Didn't have his name on it. It's called Triple Coverage. All three of us have an even stake in that show. The truth is this. Just admit you don't like soccer. Don't BS me. Just admit it. You think it's not worth the time. You think it's not worth all these things. And you know what? Just admit it. Just admit it, and I'll respect you. But once again, their true colors come out when something doesn't go their way. Their true colors come out when all of a sudden one game of soccer, whether it's professional or international, whether it's league action or international action.
Why can't they put it somewhere else? Why couldn't they put it in Red Bull Arena?
Because they didn't want to put it in Red Bull Arena. They wanted to maximize the amount. They got almost 50,000 people at MetLife Stadium. And that's with the upper deck being closed. What's wrong?
Well, the Jets would have won that game if they didn't play that soccer game on Friday.
Well, that's a bunch of malarkey. It is an absolute travesty and an absolute sham that you have a person who claims he respects what you do when you cover the game. That, fine, he's not a fan of it, or he used to be, or he used to play it, but, you know, he came around because he wants to be, you know, wants to be part of the in crowd. And then what happens? The truth is that he's upset because it interfered with how the Jets were playing. Didn't interfere at all. Is Vivek was he unable to kick and practice in the stadium? Fine, but still, though, come on. It is an absolute disgrace of how some people, you think they accept the fact that soccer is getting popular in the United States, and then they do a 180, and then they prove to all of you that, you know, you accept them and come into the soccer. Oh, that's not true anymore. No. The NFL should have put their foot down. The NFL has no right to interfere with U.S. soccer's business, just as U.S. soccer has no right to interfere in the NFL's business. You cannot opt out of a contract to play your home games at MetLife Stadium because you're upset that U.S. soccer decided to play a game 2 days before the Jets season began in the NFL. This, my friends, once again proves, regardless of how much money the NFL makes every single year, regardless of how popular the NFL is, regardless of what goes on with some of these players and the teams they represent because they are fans of the game, it goes to show you, in reality, there are people in this country that will continue to say it's not worth the time. It is a joke. Am I upset? Yes. Should I be upset? Not really. But when you have stupid people talking negatively about the sport for no reason, then I've got a legitimate gripe. Because they claim to be a new fan of the sport. And they claim that, oh, it's great to watch. I hope the team wins. And then when that happens, it is all up in the air. And then all of a sudden, it becomes, why did this happen? Why is there a stupid soccer game being played? Because the Meadowlands wanted more money. The Meadowlands had that date available on that Friday in September, and they said, go ahead. Tim Howard was honored. Unfortunately, the result was not what everyone wanted. But the truth is, this is getting ridiculous. And this is where, I'll say it, and as I don't care. The truth is this. I pray to God, that one day we win a World Cup, and it will change the landscape of how soccer is portrayed in the United States. Because then we'll see the real effect of what's going on. More work has to be done on certain mechanisms, but the truth is, we are still ways away of getting the proper respect it deserves from these numbskulls. They're still out there, my friends. Excuse me. They're still out there. This is not about, you know, you versus MLS, you versus the U.S. Soccer Federation. This is about a sport that should never be played in a professional stadium as big as MetLife Stadium. It is ridiculous, it is stupid and dumb, and I am sick and tired of the friendly fire I have to go through because I feel insulted because of a dumbass that truly does not respect the views of a soccer fan, and at the same time, does not respect the U.S. Soccer Federation and their right to have a home match being played at MetLife Stadium. That is what bothers me. It ticks me off. For once, show yourselves. And yes, I will stand up for the sport because the sport deserves the respect that it should get. But once again, what are we going to do? Unfortunately, this is where all of us have to come together. All I'm saying is this. Put away your, I wouldn't say your sense of entitlement, but put away your beliefs about this is not a real soccer league until we get promotion and relegation. Just put that away for a moment. Put away your beliefs that mindless fans loving MLS does not know what a real soccer league looks like. Put that away for just a second. We are separating ourselves right now. I'm not saying you should quit your belief. I'm not saying you should stop believing in what you think is right for our sport in this country and how the mechanism should work. I'm not saying that. But all I'm saying is it's time to curtail. It's time for all of us to get together and stop being so dismissive and stop being so separative. There's too much separation going on. We all love the sport. We all love the sport. We want the sport to do well. But now it's time to truly come together, get together, and finally say, you know what? Yeah, I don't like what MLS is doing. I don't like this. I don't like that. But I think it's time. I think it's about time that we should get together and support the game. Support the game the way it should be, the way we should expect it to be. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. And I understand. But this is why I have these discussions. This is why. Excuse me. This is why I devoted myself to this game. Because I believe in the American player. And once the American player is able to play on a regular basis in Europe, everything will be honky-dory. Once again, we cannot continue to be separated because of our beliefs of how the sport should be governed. You should believe in what you believe in, and that's fine. But let's focus on the main crux. Support this sport in our country, the world's game. It deserves it. I'm getting sick and tired because we have to defend it against schmucks like that. And that's how I feel. That's my opinion. This is what should be happening, period. All right, I know it's a longer intro monologue, but I had to get this off my chest because I was very, very angry and very upset of what transpired between a friend of mine that basically lied. Maybe I've taken it too hard and too much to heart, but at least when I believe in something, I don't jump ship. I don't jump ship. It's really simple. Either you are with us or you're against us, but do it respectively. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the most exciting thing I like to talk about, of course, the U.S. Open Cup qualifying round, the first round of the U.S. Open Cup qualifiers. As we get to the scores in all three regions, East, Central, and West, there's been some pretty good scores, maybe some upsets. Maybe some, I would have to say, positiveness on some of these results. But I will say this. Some of these results that have been put out there have been unbelievable. Now, unfortunately, I didn't watch any, and I couldn't get to the one that was near me because I had to go cover the New York Red Bulls. But you gotta say, this was a fun weekend of opening round to qualify for the 2020 U.S. Open Cup. The Saturday matches in the East. Kendall Wanderers lose at home to Zafira FC 5-0. Juve Pro Soccer loses to Brockton FC United 1-0. Soka falls to World Class Premier 4-1. Steel FC beats Germantown City FC 3-1. And on Sunday the 22nd, Cedar Stars Academy in Westchester County, which they play in New Jersey, they defeated Jackson Lions FC 2-1. Steel Pulse FC loses at home to Tartan Devils Oak Avalon 3-2. Westchester United does it again, a 5-0 victory on the road over the Nubia Swabian. And it's the Rangung Erzgebirge defeating Ukraine Nationals 4-1. Club Deportivo Huateras 3-2 victory over FC Millennium International. Alianza Football on the road defeating Dorado FC 2-1. And then it was the Lansdowne boys of Yonkers, New York, taking out Clifton Elite FC 4-2 at the Athena Street Steel Recreation Complex in Clifton, New Jersey. And that's a tough one. I know the head coach, Adam Pollock, wanted to see his side advance to the next round. But it was early, it was often, and Lansdowne boys that represent Celtic. They do the job, and they take out those teams in the first round. In the Central, Celtic Cowboy Premier defeating, or shall I say destroying, Central Texas Lobos 7-1. This was in Texas, in Austin. Atletico Miami FC, CF, excuse me, loses at home to the Miami United FC under 23s. They get drummed out of their own stadium 7-3 at the Junior Orange Bowl Stadium, Ives Estate Park in Miami, Florida. North Texas Rayados does it again. They keep on doing it well in qualifying for the Open Cup. 4-2 victory over Fort Worth Soccer Club. Another road victory for Georgia Revolution Reserves. They defeat Club Athletic 1-0, and that's with ATL in capital letters. Coyotes FC, they lose at home to San Antonio Runners, 3-2. Louisiana Crew FC defeating North Shore United, 5-2. It was a interesting match, Hurricane FC versus International Soccer Association, ISA. 1-1 through regulation and 1-1 through extra time. Hurricane defeating ISA 9-8 in the penalty kick shootout. And it's Inocentes Football Club 2-1 as the visitors defeat the home side Lone Star Republic. 1-1 through regulation, 1-1 through extra time between Charleston United in South Carolina and Soda City Sorenex FC, but it was Soda City with a 4-2 victory through the penalty kicks that put them into the second round. Scoreless in regulation, 2-1 victory on the road for Orlando FC Wolves as they defeat Deportivo Lake Mary. 2-0 for the Florida Soccer Soldiers. They're back on it, and they defeat Red Force. Livonia City versus Wayne County Sporting, 2-2 through regulation extra time, but Livonia City 5-4 in the penalties. There was an issue with field conditions between Athletic Katy FC and Houston FC in Texas, so they're going to play that match on the 28th of September, which will be this coming weekend. The winner will advance into the next round in the central region of the Open Cup qualifying for 2020. And in the West, after 2-2 in regulation and extra time, Chula Vista defeating Rebel Soccer Club 5-3 on penalty kicks. Boulder Harpos defeating FC Denver 2-0. Colorado Rovers on the road defeating Logrones Denver Soccer Club 6-2. Alta California Soul defeating USA Soccer Stars 2-1. Newport FC losing at home to the SC Trojans 4-1. The LA Monsters defeating Valley United SC 4-0. A 1-1 regulation and extra time draw, but it was in penalty kicks that Outbreak FC defeats Real San Jose 4-2. Oakland Stompers defeating Contra Costa FC 1-0. San Juan FC defeating IPS Marathon Taverna 2-0. Azteca FC on the road, 5-0 victory over Athletic Club of Sloan's Lake. It was 1-1 in regulation, but 2-1 in extra time. 3-2 all the way as Colorado Rush at home defeat Club Azul, El Azul. Cal FC smashing Quickening 9-2. GAM United losing at home to FC Union Jerez 2-1. Oxnard Guerrero's 2-0 victory over Santa Monica United. Academica SC defeating PV United 4-1. Jasa losing at home to Olympic Club 4-0. Now, it was a treat to see what is going on, because U.S. Soccer, they decided to do their draw for the second round of the Open 2020 U.S. Open Cup qualifying. It's all been done. Let's go to the East. Here are the matchups. Soccer, Zafira versus Brockton FC. Now they're calling it Cedar Stars Academy Bronx, but we'll stick with Westchester as they take on the New York Pan-Cyprian Freedoms. United German Hungarians against Viren Egong Erzgebirge. Westchester United against the Lansdowne Boys. Steel FC against Tartan Devils Oak Avalon. Virginia United versus Allianz Football Club. Christos FC against Federal City Wanderers. And Club Deportivo Huateras hosts World Class Premier. In the Central, Florida Soccer Soldiers hosts Miami United Under-23s. OFC Wolves hosts Hurricane FC. Ann Arbor FC hosts Livonia City FC. North Texas Rayados hosts Innocentes FC. San Antonio Runners hosts Celtic Cowboys Premier. Louisiana Crew hosts Atletico Katy Houston FC. Soda City FC Sorenex hosts Georgia Revolution Reserves. Springfield FC hosts Nashville United. And now in the West, Colorado Rovers versus San Juan FC. FC Union Jerez hosts Azteca FC 5280. FC Boulder's Harpos hosts Colorado Rush. Olympic Club hosts Oakland Stompers. Cal FC hosts Alta Cal Soul. Outbreak FC hosts Oxnard Guerreros. St. SC Trojans FC hosts the LA Monsters, and Chula Vista FC hosts Academica SC. Those matches will be during October. It should be a lot of fun. It should be exciting. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen when we get these second round games going. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you know what? If you're near one of these Open Cup qualifiers for these amateur sides, go for it. Go, enjoy the match, watch it. It may surprise you, the quality of some of these amateur sides. And hopefully they'll have another run in them in the 2020 Open Cup, as we get ready for more qualifying in the month of October. So as we continue on here on the 40 Teams Fire American Soccer Show, the truth is that it's time for the USL Championship League review, as we review the clubs that played last weekend in the championship. So here we go with the scores in the upcoming games that will be played over the weekend. As I'm on the schedule right now, let me just... Here we go. Tuesday, September the 17th, Nashville SC defeats Birmingham Legion 1-0. On the road, Real Monarchs destroying Tacoma Defiance 4-1. On Wednesday, September the 18th, 1-0 victory for the Ottawa Fury over Tampa Bay Rowdies. Atlanta United 2 defeating Charleston Battery 3-1. Bethlehem Steel defeating Loudoun United FC 5-2. And it was a 2-0 victory over, 2-0 victory by St. Louis FC over the New York Red Bulls 2. Fresno FC destroying Rio Grande Valley 5-0. Friday, September the 20th, Birmingham Legion 1-0 victory over Indy 11. On the road, Reno 1868 defeats New Mexico United 3-1. 1-1 draw between LA Galaxy 2 and San Antonio FC. And then it was Portland Timbers 2 with a 6-3 victory over Tacoma Defiance. Saturday, a 3-goal road victory as Swope Park Rangers gets a clean sheet at Charlotte Independence. 5-3 the result, Louisville City defeating New York Red Bulls 2. Tampa Rowdies, 6-1 victory over Bethlehem Steel. 1-0 victory for Memphis 901 FC over St. Louis FC. Nashville SC, Pittsburgh Riverhounds, a scoreless draw. Orange County on the road defeating Tulsa Roughnecks 1-0. Rio Grande Valley defeating Real Monarchs 3-1. 2-0 victory for El Paso Locomotive on Colorado Springs Switchbacks. Fresno SC FC defeating Phoenix Rising FC 2-1. Then on Sunday, September 22nd, Charleston Battery defeating North Carolina FC 2-1. Ottawa Fury defeating Hartford Athletic 4-1. Austin Bowl defeating Las Vegas Lights 4-1. Scoreless draw between Oklahoma City and Sacramento Republic. And in the upcoming week, tomorrow, should I say tonight? I apologize for being under the weather. Tuesday, September 24th, Memphis 901 FC at home against Pittsburgh Riverhounds at AutoZone Park. On Wednesday, September 25th, Atlanta United 2 hosts Indy 11 at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. Loudoun United FC hosts Swope Park Rangers over at Segra Field. And then Tulsa Roughnecks hosts San Antonio FC at 1 OK Field. The lone match on Friday night, New York Red Bulls 2 hosting Charleston Battery, and that will be at the MSU Soccer Park. Saturday, September the 28th. Sportsplex and Matthews, Charlotte Independence hosts Hartford Athletic. Louisville Slugger Field, Louisville City hosts Tampa Bay Rowdies. North Carolina FC hosts Ottawa Fury at the Salem Stadium at Wake Med Soccer Park. Pittsburgh Riverhounds hosts Indy 11 at Highmark Stadium. Loudoun United FC hosts Nashville SC at Segra Field. Colorado Springs Switchbacks hosts Las Vegas Lights at Wagner Field at 8 o'clock. Memphis 901 FC hosts Bethlehem Steel, 8 p.m. AutoZone Park. Rio Grande Valley hosts Orange County FC at the HEB Park. St. Louis FC hosts Atlanta United 2 at the West Community Stadium. San Antonio FC hosts Fresno FC at Toyota Field. Reno 1868 hosts Real Monarchs, Greater Nevada Field. New Mexico United hosts Swope Park Phoenix Rising FC at Isotopes Park. LA Galaxy 2 hosts Oklahoma City Energy. And that will be at the Dignity Health Sports Park. Tacoma Defiance hosting Tulsa Roughnecks at Cheney Stadium. Sacramento Republic hosts El Paso Locomotive, Papa Murphy's Park. on Sunday, September the 29th, Portland Timbers 2 hosts Austin Bold at the Providence Park. We'll get to Monday's game next Monday. Now it's time to go to the standings, to the table, to see where these teams are going to be before we get to the USL Cup, USL Championship playoffs. It should be a lot of fun. New York Red Bulls 2 right now, leveled on points at the top with Indy 11. Plus 30 for the Red Bulls, plus 24 Indy 11. That's why they're in first and second. New York Red Bulls 2 in first, Indy 11 in second. In third place, Tampa Bay Rowdies with 56 points. Fourth place, Nashville SC, 55 points. Fifth place, Pittsburgh Riverhounds, 52 points. Louisville City in sixth place and 50 points. North Carolina FC in seventh place and 47 points. Ottawa Fury in eighth place with 45 points. St. Louis FC in ninth place with 41 points. And Birmingham Legion in 10th place, the last playoff spot, 39 points. The rest of the East, Charleston Battery, Memphis 901 FC, Bethlehem Steel, Atlanta United 2, Charlotte Independence already eliminated, Louisville City FC still alive, Hartford Athletic eliminated, Swope Park Rangers still alive, clinched for the playoffs in the East, Red Bulls 2 in the 11, Tempe Rowdies, and Nashville SC in the West. Phoenix Rise Providence. Phoenix Rising FC in first place with 71 points. Fresno FC second place with 56. Reno 18, 68 with 53. Those are the top three right now into the playoffs. Orange County FC in fourth with 45. Sacramento Republic in fifth with 44. Real Monarchs in sixth with 43. Tied with sixth with Austin Bold, but plus 11 on differential for Real Monarchs and plus 2 for Austin Bold. In 8th place, New Mexico United. 9th place, Galaxy 2, with both with 40 points. A plus 1 for New Mexico, a minus 7 for LA Galaxy 2. And then El Paso Locomotive in 10th place with 39 points. From 11th to last, San Antonio FC, Portland Timbers 2, Oklahoma City Energy, Las Vegas Lights FC, Rio Grande Valley, Tulsa Roughnecks eliminated, Colorado Springs Switchbacks, and Tacoma Defiance. So there you have it. Those are the teams that have either clinched, not yet, or have been eliminated from playoff contention for the USL Championship League playoffs. The New York Red Bulls, after a poor match that ended poorly, I should say, in Seattle, even though they fought back, pulls out two consecutive clean sheets at Portland and in Red Bull Arena against the Philadelphia Union. We'll get to the Portland game in a moment. There's no audio for that, but still. Chris Armas has got this team turned around right now. He's got them turned around. He's got them going good. To watch this team go back out there. And even though it was a loss in Seattle, they carried some of the good play that they created into the game against Portland. And then they just did a job against Seattle, against Portland. Sometimes it has to be like that. And it was a very solid performance against Portland with, again, an early goal from Kyle Duncan off a great cross by Josh Sims. Top shelf. And then Daniel Royer converts the penalty after Mark Sharkowski got taken down inside the area. against Philadelphia. Red Bulls defense did not break. And our brand new, I should say that our brand new person, I'm thinking the wrong thing. That's my bad. I'm sorry. But Tom Barlow, well, I should say, yeah, Josh Sims, he does it again. He crossed it, even though it was stopped originally by Blake. He spilled it. Spilled it right to Tom Barlow. And all Barlow had to do is just poke it into an open net, and he does. So 1-0 there. And then in second half stoppage time again, Daniel Royer scores. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that, folks. Royer scores. It's 2-0 in second half stoppage time. And the New York Red Bulls have 6 points. They have 6 points remaining. That's up for grabs at home against DC United and at Montreal. All you can say is that the guys have bought in. They're playing better. And, you know, sooner rather than later, something had to change. Chris Armas stuck with it. The defense looked strong. Now you're seeing Kyle Duncan on the right side on the back line. Long, Parker, Kamar Lawrence, Kamar Lawrence, what a beast. How he's been playing defense has been unbelievable. He's a bit chippier now than he was the last couple of years ever since he's been here. He's had that laid back look, that laid back feel whenever we interview him, but now he's determined. He's determined. I think when you wake up a monster like that, good luck. You're going to need it. I mean, you're really going to need it. But all I can say is he came out looking strong, looking dangerous, played with a chip on his shoulder. And that, my friends, is why you need a Kamar Lawrence on this team. Still got plenty of time. 2 matches remaining. But for the New York Red Bulls, that was a solid victory. So let's play the audio from Sunday night first. Here's the head coach of the New York Red Bulls, Chris Armas.
Joining us. Thanks to our guys, members in the back for joining us. I'll start with a couple words from Chris, and then we'll open it up to questions. So, Chris?
Yeah, look, I don't think the words that I start with here will do justice to the work that the guys put in this week, because I think it caps off a really important big week for us. And if you think about where our team was at the beginning of the week, we go to Seattle, and in a lot of ways, we're in the game. And we go down in some strange ways, but we push, which we've done. And we stick together, and we come back 2-2 to lose to an own goal, essentially. So when you think about this team, what that does to you, you've lost a few games in a row, and now it's another one. To see them respond the way they did in Portland, to see the way the staff works more hours and puts in more, that's impressive. And then to finish it off in a rivalry match with a good Philadelphia team, and to shut them out and to win at home, this is a big week. Obviously, we make the playoffs, and maybe we're playing in these last few games better than we've had all year in terms of controlling things.
Back, Brian Trusto. Chris, I just, with regards to Duncan, he started off the season, what he was going to have
considerable playing time, kind of fell off the map, comes back in the middle of the season, plays four games, falls off the map again, and he comes back, scores a goal, had a good name game tonight. What did you like or didn't like when he was up here? What did you like when you saw him at Red Bull 2? Or is there some other kind of explanation to him for his season?
He had a great game tonight, and Kyle had a great game in Portland. Every single player at the club, and it's academy to USL, we invest a lot of time in. And that doesn't ever really get noticed on the outside, but on the inside, the staff and the club, from the top to the bottom, it's video, it's mentoring, it's teaching, it's growing, it's pushing guys out there and not pushing them too fast. And with Kyle, it's a process with him. And it was never, forget about Kyle Duncan, fall off the map. It's actually, let's invest more time. Let's work more with him. So there's USL games, there's training sessions, there's video, there's all that in these last months with an idea of, yeah, let's bring him along, and now he's ready to get an opportunity. How did that go? Well, yeah, oftentimes it's up to the player. You get that opportunity, yeah, would he have gotten five more opportunities here? Yeah, we understand the business, but we are really happy with those performances and proud of them.
A couple of hands on this side, start with Silvana.
Along the same lines, what are you looking for out of Tom Barlow going forward? Or is he always going to make room for Bradley Ray Phillips, or is he going to have an opportunity to be up top alongside him?
It's a good question, and now I think we're comfortable with two strikers. We've had some really good moments. The New England game, certain games, we've played really well with two strikers. And you know, we take it game by game here. You see the lineup we put out again, again, some of them are telling me it's risky, you know, in the media that I, along the way. But, yeah, we do what we think is best. Each game we look at the form of players. We look at what is best for the team. And it's nice now that you see Bradley Ray Phillips come in, how sharp he looks, how quick he looks, how unselfish one of the greatest goal scorers at his club is. But he's a winner. And then Tom is right there learning. And then Brian White's back in training, so it's some good options. One striker, two strikers. We'll have to see.
Best of the team had a great season, and their attack, especially in recent weeks against the top teams, has been putting up chances galore. You guys limited, really kind of shut them down tonight, attack wise. What is the key to kind of neutralizing that attack, especially as good as they've looked in recent weeks?
There's a lot of keys in doing that because they're not reliant on one player. You have to be ready, you know, Shabilko on crosses, Shabilko running behind, people running off of him, the Colts, and these guys, they're dynamic with speed. I would say that really being aware of Magunyanin and understanding where he's operating, I thought we tactically got that right. At halftime, we talked a little more about how to address that, and we did. And you can see even the second half, they pushed things late, but it wasn't as fluid as it was in the first half. It's not as many things could go through him. So, yeah, Jim Curtin, the coach, has done a really nice job with that team because now they're playing, they're hard to play against. You know, against the ball, they do a lot of work, and they're counter-pressing and compressing spaces. But with the ball, they're impressive because they can unbalance you in a lot of ways.
Back to the side,
we'll go to Chris Ronaldo Kumar gets up for these games against Philly because he likes to take on his countryman, Andre Blake. But tonight, he was dominant defensively on Fafa Picol. He just had him in his back pocket. What is it about Kumar, who always is up for these games against the Union?
I think we know Kumar loves the bright lights and the big games. And he loves a challenge. So if he knows that it's a fast guy versus himself, you know, a fast guy, he wants to show he's tougher, he's faster. That's one part of it. He loves to flex his muscles that way, but he does. It's his best quality as a defender. He loves to defend and really takes it personal. But I would say this, that if you think about a year ago or so,
it was a sour taste in his mouth when he couldn't be in the biggest games towards the end of the injury. So he's really has his mind on one thing right now. So it's good that we have Kamar healthy and focused.
Hello, Chris. In your opening remark there, you talked about the hard work, and you looked a little bit sort of, I think almost emotional, for want of a better word. Did the last 7 days, does that feel as if maybe the guys have stepped up for you personally, irrespective of their own goals?
You'd have to ask them that. I don't know. I know that I'm with them, and I feel they're with me and the staff. They're in with each other. They give an awful lot to the staff and to each other. It's the culture that we have around here. How much can you give? You often end up giving a lot, but you get a whole lot more. So our style really depends on it. It's, again, I think that's a good question if you're interested to ask them, but I think we know that they're playing. I mean, think about it, guys. Like, you know, people talk about a roller coaster season. It's been hard, but challenges. We've seen teams in our league crumble this year. We're faced with adversity. And that group has stuck together. Again, the players, the staff, support from every direction. Really proud of that.
Up front on the side, Larry.
Chris, back-to-back clean sheets. How pleased are you with how the back line is playing this time of year, knowing that in a few weeks that is, you know, it's one or done with the playoffs coming up?
I'm really happy with the team's commitment to be connected, stick to it, be disciplined. We're a team used to pressing all over the place to disrupt things, and, you know, it's not so easy to now be disciplined and compact in different moments for the long stretches of the game where it might feel a little uncomfortable when you don't have the ball. But we're trying to control spaces and dictate where the team or the opposition can play. So if you talk about the back line, I think we've seen a real step in the right direction. And you know, Luis has been there all year for us. But I think we have seen a back line that has, they're prideful. So when they see 47 or 45 and 46 and 47, these many goals conceded, I think it got to a point with some real hard meetings and looks at even, we went and looked back all the goals we gave up this year and talked about some individual things and collective things. And I think it's a mentality like, let's get back to shutouts, let's get back to a back line acting as one. So they are probably the key to these last two games, putting out every fire that came their way. And of course, you got to talk about Luis.
Time for one more,
Chris. I was wondering if you could talk about the midfield trio of Sean, Mark, and Christian, and what they did tonight and in Portland, and how that has kept Kapu on the bench for the last two matches to start.
Before you even mention Kaku's name, it'd be the first name that I mentioned, because if you can see that how important he is for our team, that when he comes in, he can change things and on a dime. And look at the goal that was created from him, his ability to calm things down for us, to run against the ball, chasing, being around the Dominion, and to see Kaku's attitude in these last days. Has really shown what type of a person and winner he is, and that he's all in with the team. He's impressive. We get to see Christian in a run of games, and his fearlessness, his ability to cover ground, I think that's impressive, and it's important against athletic midfields, you know, and we see Sean Davis' leadership and ability to understand what's going on out there. And how that's needed, and it's been needed in the toughest times. And you can see that Mark gives you something different up the field, his ability to find spaces and do even some of that dirty work up the field. And he's been really important for us. So we have some good options, and we're happy with all those guys.
Okay, thanks.
And that's the head coach of the New York Red Bulls, Chris Armas. That was after the 2-0 victory against the Philadelphia Union this past Sunday night, which was a huge win for the New York Red Bulls after when they suffered that 3-2 comeback loss by the Union, where they had the 2-0 lead at half, and then the Union just came out of nowhere. So that was pretty big. You know, you got to say, and you really have to think about it, you have to really think about where this team has been and how they have been playing at times good and at other times not so good. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. Wow. Hang on. Sorry about that, folks. Just still under the weather. Hope I can get this damn thing done and over with. But as I was trying to say, there's been a lot of ups and downs in this team. Just more and more going on with this team going forward. It's been pretty much a lot of fun watching them attack like this. And to see some of these kids get an opportunity to perform has been wonderful to watch. And all you can say is, that this team is going to be pretty much a scary opponent for anyone in the playoffs. So as of right now, we'll see what happens. But one thing is for sure. If they are running on all cylinders and playing this type of defense against a powerful, dangerous Union side, then, you know, everything's on the table. And then you're going to have to worry about, well, how are you going to do this and how are you going to do that? This, my friends, is the Red Bulls team you've been begging for. Hoping to see, to go out and do a job that they should have done last year against Atlanta United. Because of the injury to Kamar Lawrence, it didn't go the way they wanted it to go. That is the situation that is in front of them right now. That is the situation. That we all have to look at. With this Red Bull team. And let me just say this. This is going to be a very interesting time for these last two games. Excuse me. So all you can do is just get ready, go out and have some fun, enjoy the next match, which will be on Sunday against DC United. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So we'll have to wait and watch what's going to happen. But it should be an exciting time. So remember, DC United, ATC week, and then you're on the road to Montreal to finish up the regular season. Excuse me. Get ready for CONCACAF Nations League, and for some of you and for someone else, possibly World Cup qualifying begins in South America. So it's going to be exciting to watch there. But it should be a lot of fun going forward. Those goals. We'll talk about Tom Barlow. We'll play that audio for you right now. And then we'll discuss how he was able to convert those.
Tom, talk about that performance tonight. You get the 3 points over a tough Philadelphia side.
Yeah, it was a good game, especially coming back from a long trip in Seattle and Portland. Obviously, we clinched the playoff spot last night, but our mentality was come in, you know, win the game, get 3 points, and start pushing for a higher seed in the playoff. Whatever, coming up in a couple weeks. So, but it was good performance by the guys, and yeah, happy to get the win.
Andre Blake rarely spills a ball like that. How quickly did you get to him, and were you not that far off?
I remember Josh. He was a little ahead of me, and he played a good ball in, and I was a little far behind. So, you know, I didn't think I was going to get there, and luckily he spilled it. So it was a little early Christmas present for me, I guess. And yeah, I'm just, you know, happy I was in the right place at the right time, able to put it away.
I know you've played against, you know, some of these MLS sides, USL teams in the USL Championship. You've taken on, I think it's like your first game against the Union this year. Were you on the road for that one in June?
I was there, but I didn't play.
Right.
It was against Montreal.
How difficult is that back line when you're going toe-to-toe against them?
Against the Union?
Against the Union, yeah.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, they play a similar style to us, so you know, whenever they lose the ball and, you know, we gain possession, they're trying to counter-press, so you know they're coming. But, yeah, they're athletic in the back and they're big, so it is tough, but, you know, it's fun. It's always fun to, you know, for a good challenge and a good battle, so they're a good side. We felt we got a little unlucky earlier in the year, so it was a little payback game. And yeah, we had a good game. So,
what's it like to face a world-class keeper like Andre Blake, who plays it regularly for Jamaica?
It's an awesome experience. Yeah, he's an unbelievable keeper. You know, I learned a little bit about him from Kamar. You know, so yeah, he's obviously done really well. So I'm, you know, happy I was able to get a goal against him. It's huge for me.
Did Kamar give out cheat sheets?
No. But obviously they play together at Jamaica, so. You know, we hear a little bit about him, and obviously, you know, playing, you know, same conference, we've seen quite a bit, but yeah, great keeper, and, you know, happy to be around.
How's it feel now you're going to have your chance to have your first taste of the MLS Cup playoffs?
Oh, I can't wait. You know, it's last night after, you know, getting the news, you know, after all this team's been through throughout the year, and it's an awesome feeling, and I just can't wait to, you know, obviously looking forward to the rest of the season, and just, you know, hopefully getting more points, but yeah, I can't wait for the playoffs to begin. It should be fun.
Tom Barlow, you know, when you take advantage of a mistake, you really got to take advantage of it. And that was one mistake you rarely see from Andre Blake. It just goes to show you how dangerous of a player Josh Sims is. Because he goes down the flanks, makes a great cross, puts in an area where his teammates can get to it, and they put the ball in the back of the net. In this case, Andre Blake could not handle the cross. He flubbed it. Tried to push it forward. He still flubbed it. Put it into an area where Tom Barlow was able to get to it and basically just sweep it inside an open net. And it all went swimmingly for the Wisconsin attacker. Gotta tell you, it is a pleasure to watch Tom Barlow play these games. Him and Brian White, the future of the New York Red Bulls as strikers. Just to see them attack, see them going forward. See them doing all those wonderful things. And all you can say is that this possibility of this partnership, if they go back to a two-striker situation, I could see them, you know, flourishing, both White and Barlow. It's just been fantastic to watch him play. But Josh Sims has been getting comfortable. Even though there's not much left in the regular season, he's really been a solid attacking player who can give you opportunities that you weren't even expecting. And that's what he can do. Give you an opportunity to go out and be successful. Because that, my friends, is the type of attacking player you're looking for that will show no fear. Very happy to see Barlow get rewarded with a goal. And then, of course, you had that great ball from Kaku springing Bradley Wright Phillips. And then all of a sudden, nice, fantastic cross to Daniel Royer. Sadly, first touch failed him, but he caught up to it, and he toe-poked it hard past Andre Blake in second-half stoppage time. And that made it 2-0. And then the final whistle blew. So all you can say is that for the New York Red Bulls, they get a fantastic result at home. Clean sheet for two straight matches. It was unbelievable what we saw and what we witnessed. And once again, if you want to talk about it, because I like to talk about it, excuse me, Kamar Lawrence. Taxi has been unbelievable. Taxi has been relentless. And he's been dominating, playing great defense, goes out there and performs at a very, very high level. It was absolutely fantastic. Here is Kamar Lawrence right now talking about the match.
He's not trying to switch up spots. He's trying to put the best 11 out on the field every single game, and we go from there. I always say that we have the best defenders in the league, and I stick by my word. We mess up at times. We make mistakes, But I always tell you guys, when we start to limit those mistakes, it's going to be different. You're going to see the class stop making mistakes. And you stop being complacent. You're going to see the type of defenders we really are. And I feel like over the last couple of years, we stopped being complacent. We're trying to get towards five turns. We're trying to make the right play. And if we have to fall up the field, we're being smart. We're falling up the field, not close to a box. When we're defending, we're getting our arms and guys not getting the free run. So we're doing we talk about details. We're doing the little things. Those are the details. And when we get those right, clean sheet.
Their team is actually all year they've created chances. The last few weeks against the top teams in the league, they put up a ton of chances. They put up a ton of shutting down.
No, every time I play, I'm expecting that I won't give up any chance. I tell Aaron the same thing. I send that message about him. And who's ever on the team, I try to give them that message. We're not trying to give up chances. We're trying to keep Louis safe as possible, not trying to make him make a mistake. Good players. Good team. You give them time on the ball, you give them too much space, you're going to punish them. So we're trying to take away that space, and then on the opposite end, just be dangerous with it. But when they switch and put in their team, that's something that I'm hoping for. The last game I never played them. That's something that I always do. So I want you to come on. I want you to be pretty. I want you to try to run it. that's a game I want to be in.
The last time you guys were here, the fans were booing. Some were calling for Chris to be fired. It seemed like kind of a low point for this group. You mentioned a roller coaster. These last maybe 7 days or so, or especially since the Portland game to this one, how big of a turnaround is that from the last time you played here?
Fans are going to want to be fans. When things don't go the way that they wanted to go, then they're going to react the way that they want to react. They're going to say you should get fired. But if you're in a team and you trust your coach and you trust the system, then you're going to stick to it. Tell me, what have we done differently over the years? We didn't change tactics tonight. We came out and we played the way that we normally play. But the things that we got wrong in previous games that led to us losing the game, we got them right. We got them right last time. So that's the thing. Some nights you come out and you go after it and you're trying to get those right, and it just don't go your way. And the other nights where it goes your way and then everything is perfect, and the fans love that. But no, it's not always perfect. Nothing in the world is perfect. So I urge the fans to continue to cheer us on, continue to have our back, and push us on, because I feel like this year is going to be a special year.
Kamar, if I can ask you, you frustrated Pete Cole all night long. I know how much you like to take on Union because Andre's on the team, but twice after you tackled him down, he was complaining about you at the ref. I mean, what does that say about
him? He wasn't complaining. He was actually calling for a foul, where it could be a foul because he was in the air, and he was in the air already, and I'm not trying to jump, so I was just trying to, shove him off me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 50-50 call. The ref could have went either way. If the ref called foul, I wouldn't be mad either. But, that's my job, to frustrate winners, and I like that. He's not going to outrun me, ever. So, so if they want to play him behind, then fine. If they want to play through his feet, then I'll face you up and I'll defend. And that's my job, but I like to frustrate players and make it easier for my team, and it gets them out of the game, so I don't have a problem.
What'd you say to Andre after the match?
I haven't seen him. He's probably outside waiting on me, to be honest. I haven't seen him. But I'm definitely getting on on the first goal. He shouldn't have dropped that. You know, we always speak the truth, no matter who wins or loses. Knowing him, he wouldn't normally let that first one go. To see him let that go, I know he's probably upset now. So, you know, I have to bring a couple words of encouragement, first of all. So I gotta do that first, and then get on and about.
And that is Kamar Lawrence talking about the match. And I mean, look, when you've got a guy like Pete Cole who doesn't like getting fouled and he complains all the time, hey, you just got to give credit to Kamar Lawrence, man. He defended him very well. Defended him very, very well. Went out there and just absolutely got the job done. It's all you can really do and all you can really say. He got the job done. And that's why he's a part of this team. For a good reason. Anyway, the person who's been probably happy about this clean sheet time has been the captain, Luis Robles, and how he wants to get these victories and move forward. So here's Luis Robles right now.
Luis, when you were last home, things seemed about as dire as they can be around here. It seemed like you guys dug in deep, starting with that win in Portland, even that comeback in Seattle, but the win in Portland, and now you follow it up with this one. How big has this last, few days been for this group?
Yeah, I think you're being a little overdramatic. Of course, no one wants to lose at home, especially this organization has been so successful since this arena has opened up. And yet, for some reason this year, losing five times, it really feels like a punch in the mouth. Yet, I do believe that this group has a great spirit. And even though we didn't get that result, we just didn't play that well. We knew that we were still in a playoff position. We'll be fine. We just have to have a good trip to the Northwest. And even as we size up the trip to the Northwest, of course you want to win both, but really if we can get a result in one of them, it'd be a successful trip. And we thought maybe we'd get that in Seattle when we made that comeback. And yet we're a little unlucky. And then when you think about the season, it just really has been like that, right? It's a near miss, a little unlucky, penalty kick, late goal. For whatever reason, hasn't materialized or gone the way that we hoped. And yet, the spirit within this group remains. And I think there's something to be said about that. And I think a great reflection of that was the Portland game. And we continue to show that spirit tonight. So we're building some momentum here. We're not too high. We're not too low. We're just being realistic. And I think the most encouraging thing about those two games and those two results, not just the 3 points for both, but we look like us. We're playing Red Bull soccer, and that's really encouraging.
Also, two clean sheets in a row, which you guys are back, obviously, pride yourself on.
Absolutely. I mean, we got to a point where we just stopped saying it, right? Because it just wasn't happening, but that's also encouraging to not only see the clean sheet, but we're not giving up much, right? I think Philly had the chance in the first half, and then late, Casper's volley in the second half, but that was it. We weren't giving up much. You see the way that the guys are throwing their body, putting it all on the line, and that's why I go back to the first thing I said, we're starting to look like us, and that's really, really encouraging.
What's it about this back line that's, everyone's interchangeable, yet you're getting these results? Like, you have Duncan in there, then it's Buckmaster, Michael comes in there, and it's still a clean sheet.
I mean, I almost feel like if you say everything is interchangeable, that starts to minimize some of the guys. We just know that when your number's called, there's a very high standard, and the expectations for you are very high. So no matter who's in there, they know what the standards are, and they know what those expectations are. But we also know that there's a particular group that may be our best, and maybe some of it's obvious, maybe some of it isn't, but we're using these last games to figure it out.
What was it about in the second half? You're still up by one, and it looked like there was a dangerous cross coming towards your net. Were you able to make the save? Was it
Casper got on it. I got on the end of it. I just slowed my feet down, assuming that he put on target and made a save. Fortunate on the rebound that it went off of them and out, but and that's why I'm there, is those moments. And I'm not going to get, when this defense is on, I'm not going to have a lot to do. And yet, in those moments, I have to earn my keep as well. And I'm just really glad I can help the team.
Was the return of Caceres in Portland, because of the injury that we all thought was a bad injury in Seattle, was that part of the spring that led to these two clean sheets? Because he came back to the Portland game so fast?
Not necessarily. I think what's really led to the clean sheets and the way that we're playing is just a buy-in from everyone. It's not just one player. If in order for this group to be successful, everyone has to buy in, and it's a really high buy-in. It's not here, there, one game, two games. We run a little bit. We play for 45 minutes. The way that we play, we can get easily exposed. When guys don't get bought, when guys don't buy in, you can see some of the matches haven't gone our way. But when guys do, then then we're really tough to play against. And I feel like for the last couple of games, that's exactly what we've seen. When guys are completely committed to the tactics, when guys for 90 minutes know what's required of them, and they lay it out on the line, and when we look like us, we're very difficult to play against.
Come on, be a man possessed out there. He really had the code in his back pocket all night long before he got subbed out.
Not just Kamara. I mean, I felt like everyone. I mean, you look at the shift that Tim and Alo put in. You look at what Kyle did on the side. You look at when Elfinho came in, and right away Mark goes over and introduces him in the game, and that's the sort of message we want to send. That it's not going to be a walk in the park. And so, of course, Kamara did his job. Alo did his job. Tim did his job. Kyle did his job. The Sixers did their job. And when guys do their job, I said this before and I'll say it again, we're just difficult to play.
And that's Luis Robles on the New York Rebels' victory over Philadelphia Union. Once again, a 2-0 victory for the New York Red Bulls. And they just have to keep on going. Got to keep on going with this. And hopefully they can get those big, big wins to put them into better position for the playoffs and host a home playoff game, because that's what it's really all about, hosting a playoff win. You know, once again, there was no audio for the victory in Portland, but still, that was an important victory for the Red Bulls. They had to have that. They had to have that. And so when you see a team like that, that is starving for victories, and it all turns into something positive, that'd be a great thing. Because you want to look forward and not back. And don't keep looking back of what could I have done differently? What could I have done this? What could I have done that? But once again, this is a very, very big win for the New York Red Bulls. They already clinched the playoff spot, of course. But once again, it's a situation where you got to do this for two more games, take their national break, and then get ready for a big playoff run. Should be interesting to watch and see what's going to happen. And speaking about that, everyone's going to say something interesting. I've been saying it as well. The calendar years that end with the number 9, that jinx is now officially broken. Because they never made the playoffs in the years of 1999 and 2009, and now it's 2019. They are in the playoffs. What an amazing thing it would be to see if this team can make a run and, you know, get to the final and maybe win it. That, my friends, would be the most interesting thing that could ever happen. And so, we'll have to watch and wait and see what's going to happen. And we're going to have to wait and see how it's going to happen. But once again, we just have to be patient about it and see what's going to be. There's still some question marks probably, but, you know, until then, we'll have to wait to see where the Red Bulls will finish on the standings and what will bring for them on decision day. It should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. We'll wait and see. Well, this is a shortened show, so we're going to say goodbye. And thank you all for listening to me today. I appreciate it. I know I'm still under the weather. Hopefully I'll get rid of this cold, and I have my other issues as well right now, but hopefully those will be over with soon. If not, it's going to have to be careful with it. But still, though, I want to wish every one of you of the Jewish faith a very happy New Year, a very happy Rosh Hashanah. Have a good afternoon, evening, tonight. Please re-listen to the show when you get a chance. Take care. So long. Bye-bye for now. And as always, please enjoy your football. Take care, everybody. So long. Take care. And bye-bye for now.